Time now for Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening at this time, station WKZO brings you the story of one of the industries or professions in which the people of Western Michigan earn their living. Tonight we are to hear about the work of the minister. And now, here's your guide to Western Michigan at Work, Dr. Willis Dunbar.
Good evening. We don't usually think of the ministry as a means of earning a livelihood. We give it some loftier name, such as a calling. Without in any sense detracting from the great purpose and high mission of the ministry, it also is a job. In addition to everything else, it's a means by which people earn a livelihood, and it's one of the professions. Most of us see our minister in our church or synagogue on Sunday, and we occasionally meet him on the street or at social gatherings of the church during the week. But how does he spend his time? What is it like to be a minister? In order to find out, I've asked three gentlemen of the cloth to be on our program tonight. One of them is a Protestant minister here in Kalamazoo, another is a Jewish rabbi, a third is a pastor of a church in a small town near Kalamazoo. We are also to hear from a student pastor. I had hoped that we also might get a Roman Catholic priest on the program, but we were unable to make the necessary arrangements in time for this broadcast. First, we're going to hear from the Reverend Cornelius Oldenburg, pastor of the Third Christian Reformed Church of Kalamazoo. Tell us about the work of a minister, Reverend Oldenburg, as you see it.
Dr. Dunbar, I believe that there has never been a time in the history of the world when the work of a pastor needed a more positive and greater re-emphasis than today. Invariably, the reputation of that work has fallen into disrepute because of the pastor's refusal to assume the holy responsibility of his office. On the other hand, with the ever-increasing stress and strain of our present economy, and with the resultant lack of spiritual thinking due to our becoming urbanized, the pastor's work ought to receive greater spiritual impetus than at any other time. Some of our clergy have become increasingly revived by the world conditions and individual status of the membership. In my opinion, the pastor's task is to assist the spiritual development of the individual, so that he may gain maturity of soul in personal fellowship with his God, finally gaining salvation through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, his Savior. The pastor has too often been interested in ideas and certain ideologies of the current age, rather than that he has been interested in the spiritual welfare of his flock. If we follow the work of the Savior, especially in perusing the Gospels, we shall discover that he was always busy in his Father's kingdom to be helpful and to alleviate the suffering of a diseased body, a frustrated mind, and a sin-stricken soul. And he requests of his pastors to go likewise. It might well be the motto of the pastor in his work to emulate Fondeau, the great French physician, who said, "To cure sometimes, to relieve often, and to comfort always." The greatest task to which the pastor has been called is the preaching of the gospel, or as Paul tells us, for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ. The pastor has been signally privileged to present the word of the Lord. He must also be a teacher. He must instruct the children as well as the young people in the doctrine of salvation. He must therefore know how to teach and continue in these things. In our congregation, the minister teaches six classes of Bible, doctrine, and church history, besides teaching various organizations in the church. Another important phase is the calling on the sick, the hospital cases, as well as the home calls. Here he can perform some of his most effective work. The bereaved need his pastoral comfort at the time of the demise of the loved one, comfort them with a message from God's word at the funeral services, and calling again after life has resumed its routine. Problems of various sorts call for wise counseling on the pastor's part. The art of counseling has become very much in the fore because of the insecurities, the frustrations, and fears which have entered our complex society. I call it an art, for with the Word of God as basis, he can help much to restore the faith of one who has felt a heavy burden dragging him down. Marital problems, problems of high school, and college young people demand his attention. In short, the pastor must be a preacher, a teacher, an organizer, a leader, a counselor, an executive, but above all, a man of prayer.
Thank you, Reverend Oldenburg. Next, we're to hear from Rabbi Nathan Levinson of the Congregation of Moses, Kalamazoo. His remarks come to you by transcription.
The duties of a clergyman are twofold. He must serve his congregation and attempt to further the spiritual welfare of his city. As rabbi of the local synagogue, in addition to conducting services, preaching sermons, visiting the sick, giving religious instructions to the children, and attending to all other spiritual needs of my congregation, I find many opportunities for service in the community at large. We live in a fast age and are under tension constantly. Counseling has therefore become an important part of the clergyman's duties. Many people stop in my study to talk it over with the rabbi. Such people are disturbed and in need of sympathetic counseling. I try to guide them to faith and to ease their burden. There are two military hospitals in this area. I spend at least one day each week visiting our veterans counseling. The presence of a civilian chaplain in such hospitals serves as a morale builder. Some of the most gratifying experience that I have had during the many years of my stay in Kalamazoo have been the numerous visits to the synagogue of various classes of children from the public schools and from many of our churches. Sometimes there are as many as two or three classes each week that visit the synagogue. Western civilization, unfortunately, has become too denomination-minded. Very often we fail to realize that though the walls of our houses of worship separate us, yet our prayers are directed to one God and are intended for the same purpose. When the young people visit my synagogue, they are at first somewhat uneasy. However, after an explanation of the traditional symbols of the synagogue, they come to realize the close relationship between Judaism and Christianity. They begin to ask many questions concerning Judaism, questions ranging from requests to hear prayers read in the original Hebrew, to the inquiry whether the soil of which Adam, the first man, was made could have come from Westridge Hill. Such visits are very useful and very educational. They convey in living reality the principle that we are all children of one God, even though our manner of worship may differ. I enjoy immensely similar experiences with many adult groups in our city. And of course, like my colleagues of the Ministerial Alliance, I find time to participate in many educational, charitable, and civic endeavors. We are not confined to our churches, but go out into the community, for we have come, in the words of the prophet, to walk in peace and righteousness with our people.
Thank you, Rabbi Levinson. To give us some idea of what the life of a minister is like in a smaller community, I have asked the Reverend Herbert A. Miles, pastor of the Galesburg Congregational Church, to tell us how he spends his weekdays. Reverend Miles?
Dr. Dunbar, the ministry of the country church is of great importance because oftentimes the leaders of the larger churches receive their early training in the small church in the country. To plan a day's work and follow the plan is almost impossible, as there are so many calls. Oft times at the beginning of the day, I've had those who felt that the minister should know of their difficulties right away, and so the call, please come at once. And upon your return, another call, and so on until half a day has gone, and nothing in the line of reading or study has been done. Then in the afternoon are the pastoral calls, which are of great importance. In this way, I feel that fully as much can be accomplished as in any other way. To really know people, you must meet them in their homes and share their sorrows and joys, helping them by some word of encouragement and advice. The conducting of funerals and officiating at weddings occupies at certain seasons a great deal of time. Oft times this may be the first contact you would have with a family, and to be of help to them, you must make other follow-up calls. The many speaking engagements you may have, and calls to take part in all local activities, and the many chores you will find to do in and about the home and the church. He must be all things to all people. Yet there's a satisfied feeling that perhaps you are in some way bearing the burden of a fellow traveler, bringing some light into his life. Sometimes one is called in to smooth out the rough places which some families find in their getting along together. Often things are soon overlooked by being able to give the people a new point of view. After all these contacts, he enters his pulpit on the Sabbath with a sense of understanding of the people's needs and can bring a message of hope that revives their faith. It is a great task, but has a great reward.
Thank you very much, Reverend Miles. And if you don't think the life of a minister is a vigorous one, I'd like to tell you that Reverend Miles tells me that on Sunday morning he's always up at 4 o'clock working on his sermon for Sunday morning. We have a fourth guest for this program, a young man from Kalamazoo College who is preparing himself for the ministry. He's Rex Broyles of Charleston, West Virginia. Rex is also the student pastor of the Mattawan Congregational Church and the West Oshtemo Baptist Church. Tell me, Rex, why are you preparing for the ministry?
Well, Dr. Dunbar, my decision to serve God and my Lord with my whole life is something which has grown out of a normal Christian home atmosphere. Both my parents have been active in the work of the church. I remember when I was 15 years old, my father was the teacher of the boys' Sunday school class I attended. Both of my parents encouraged me toward the ministry once my decision was made and backed me in the task of acquiring a further education. Religious training, devotion, prayer, and Bible study, and also sound moral counsel have also been a very, very happy part of my home training. I believed in 1941, as I believe now, that the Christian ministry presented to me the greatest challenge for a life's work. I enjoy the arts, painting, music, singing, dramatics, public speaking, and I have an overpowering conviction that God wants me in His service. He wants me to give whatever He has loaned to me back to Him in service. He wants me, along with hundreds of young men like me, to develop to the utmost every talent, interest, and ability to its capacity, and to use each gift to inspire others to develop in His children, all peoples, a greater sense of their spiritual and moral possibilities. My work in the ministry these past 7.5 years, in Army as well as in student life, has proved the greatness of the challenge of my chosen field. My opportunities for service in His kingdom are absolutely unlimited. My Christian experience has given me such a conviction that I keep ever before me the verse which first inspired me to think on my chosen work. This is the verse from Philippians 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you very much, Rex Broyles. And that's the picture of the ministry here in Kalamazoo.
You've been listening to another in the series of programs on Western Michigan at Work. Next Tuesday evening, we will bring you the story of the Eaton Manufacturing Company of Marshall. This has been another of the many programs presented in the public interest by the Fetzer Broadcasting Company.